The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Hey, Parky. Guess what? It's not just the final hooter. It's the final hooter of the season.
Of the season, yeah. But, I mean, we'll still be talking during the close season.
Oh, yeah,
won't
internationally
we?
We'll be talking stuff because the Four Nations are starting. We've got the European trophy.
It never ends.
Rugby league is becoming like a 12-month sport.
Rugby league never ends and you're still looking as fresh as a daisy from January, mate.
Never changed, have I? Not. Joined by James Gordon. James, thank you very much for joining us in the show. The big boss from loverugbyleague.com. Hello.
Hi, Adrian.
And how's your season been?
I think it's gone pretty quickly.
It has, hasn't it?
My feeling is that, yeah, it's one of them when you first start the season, the first few weeks you're always thinking, oh, just started it, and before you know it, here we are.
Exactly. I mean, this time last year, we were talking about the World Cup.
We were, yeah, and how fascinating that it's like 12 months later and rugby league still has the same problems and still with the same pitfalls, which we all hope would be eradicated following a great World Cup, which had people busting the stadiums virtually, and yet we can't seem to fill them outside of grand final time.
No, we can't. We're going to look ahead to the Four Nations. I went to the media launch for the England boys before they jetted off on an aeroplane.
How were the pasties?
No pasties. It was chicken curry.
Chicken curry? Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Healthy eating in Manchester on that day.
Was it better than the grand final curry?
Yeah, it was actually.
Yeah. It couldn't get much worse, really.
That was at Man City, wasn't it? So it's bound to be better than Man United.
Oh, yeah, I see where you're coming from. Okay. Yeah.
So we caught up with Darrell Clark, Callum Watkins, Stephen Ratchford, Michael Shenton, Josh Hodgson, and Superman Sam Tompkins.
Wow, you managed an interview with Sam?
Pinned him down, couldn't get away.
See, that's what NRL defences have been struggling to do all season, isn't it?
And don't worry, Saints fans, we're going to be talking about the grand final as well. We've got a wins in closure with Louis McCarthy, Scarsbrook, Lance Ahia and Tommy Makinson, and a coach's corner, Wayne and Brown. We love Wayne and Brown.
We do.
It's a good double act, isn't it?
Sounds like a firm of solicitors, doesn't it? You know, to be fair, I wouldn't like to be in a room with either of them for long periods of time, I don't think. Especially not Wayne, not when they've lost.
And because it is the final hooter of the season, we're going to have a bit of the award tonight, aren't we?
Yeah, I believe you've been polishing off the trophies.
I have,
you?
Yeah. Dusted them down, had the brasso out.
What's James getting this year?
Don't know yet.
What about me?
Don't know yet.
You know, like
we're just talking about the greatest game ever. Yeah, you could do.
Sidekick of the year. Mm. Yeah, I mean, that'd do. I'd be happy with that.
Going to say best boss.
Best
for
boss.
James.
Yeah.
Get him an apple.
Yeah.
Forgot the apple.
No, I thought you was getting it. You see, he gets one job to do every year, and he can't manage it.
I've got a tangerine. That'll do.
That'll do.
Okay, I'll get him that. Right, for the final time this season, let's talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And because it was grand final at Old Trafford, it's all about the grand final, isn't it? So the good, without doubt, James, were and have been the best pre-match group we've ever witnessed at a grand final. I mean, come on, the atmosphere during sit-down, wow, yeah, amazing. I wasn't sitting down, I was up dancing.
Well, I think there was something quite ironic about James singing sit-down and 70,000 people on the feet. I don't know, did you not find the irony there?
Me and you were looking at the screens and the press area, and we were just laughing at the faces of the crowd. It was amazing.
It were excellent. He played up to the crowd really well, didn't he, the lead singer, as he marched into the Saints end and started dancing with a few of them.
James, you a fan of James?
Yeah. I think the Sit Down song's the only song that I'd heard, but yeah, he certainly on that song, like you say, he got the fans up. I thought actually it was quite a good occasion, I think. Obviously, the RFL get a lot of criticism, don't they, for various things, but I thought the grand final was a good occasion. I guess now it's a case of looking at the other 364 days of the year to sort out now. But I think they got the grand final pretty good.
You're already thinking ahead of the grand final, by the way, because tickets are available for next year's grand final, 20th of October.
20th of October? It's late, is it, next year?
No, that's when the tickets are.
Oh, that's when the tickets are
on sale this year.
Sorry.
I think that's one of the things that gets me. It's like you're at the 2014 grand final and they're already selling they're promoting the tickets for next year's grand final. And it's a bit like, well, is it the sort of 12 months of rugby league before then to promote? Do you know what I mean? And that's my attitude to that.
Well, we have got the fixtures out, haven't we, this weekend?
Mm. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's something for us to look forward to, isn't it? The new era. Rugby league, new era. Hashtag. Don't forget your hashtag.
Okay, the bad. Has it finished? Yes, the season has finished. Enough said.
Yeah, is that a bad thing?
No.
Is it the bad thing? You just said it's 12-month rugby league, so it's not finished officially, has it?
If it was down to me, I'd have the players playing 7 days a week.
You see, don't forget as well, we've also got the Aussie schoolboys coming over in December, haven't we? So the
next generation.
The next generation. So we could be talking about, you know, your next Greg Inglis. He came on one of these tours and he's going to be playing for Australia. I know they've had like umpteen other players who pulled out from that squad, but they'll probably still beat England, won't they?
We're saying the season's a bad thing, James. Then is it a bad thing it's finished, or is it a good thing?
It's a good thing because it means that I can have a bit of a rest.
You're going on holiday?
I'm not going on holiday, no, but it means that I can get on with work without the distraction of games and stuff like that. But
I mean, really, don't we?
I mean, it's one of them at the moment. It's very difficult. Rugby league finds it very difficult because obviously all the internationals are staged at the end of the year. So you're sort of looking at it from a club perspective. If you've not made the playoffs, your season finished at the start of September, and then your next league game is the start of February. So between September and February, that's like 5 months' time. When in reality, there has been rugby league. It's just been there's not been your club in it. And I think if you look at football, they maybe have one. They have like 2 months off tops, don't they? Whereas I think for some of the lower teams, it does. I do think that maybe the 5 months is a bit of a gap, but it's how you fit in the playoffs and the internationals without it affecting.
Hang on, if you're London Broncos, they've been back in training for about 6 weeks, haven't they, since they finished playing?
Have they?
Yeah.
Obviously meaning business for next year.
Obviously. Well, I suppose they've got to start training somewhere, haven't they? Because they've not managed to get a pre-season in for the last 3 years.
Well, either that or they're going to be knackered come the middle of the season.
Right, moving on to the Ugly, I've got to mention it. I'm not going to mention the incident. I think the ugliest scene from the weekend of the grand final was Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook dancing at the end.
Oh, he was an ace dancer.
Proving rugby league players just can't dance.
Yeah, well, it was either that or the coat that I was wearing for grand final day. I don't know which.
Did you have a coat on?
Yeah. I nearly left it.
All right, okay.
That would have caused a bit of a security breach at Old Trafford, wouldn't it? I had to go back in for it.
What coat was it? I didn't even notice.
Well, it was similar to it's the other one I've got to this hoodie that I've got. Right. So I would have been seen as a hoodie actually leaving Old Trafford hoodless.
I mean, I know I'm criticising McCarthy Scarsbrook dancing, but at least he enjoyed the fact he won the grand final.
Oh, he loved it. He was playing up to the crowd and everything. He's actually, I reckon, he's made himself a St. Helens folk hero now, and I think he'll go down in history with the likes of the Chisnalls and that because of the way that he celebrated that. Because everybody will identify with that, won't they? And think, you know, he's the sort of geezer that I want to have, you know, bring to my party.
Yeah, I think I always speak to Louis in pre-season on the Saints media days, and I always ask him if he's stocked up on plenty of pie and mash while he's over the close season, and that tends to go down well with him. So he is a good laugh, Louis, and obviously his accent isn't a typical rugby league accent, which is good for the game as well.
So it is good for the game, the fact there were three Londoners in the grand final.
Yeah, I mean, Sargenton had a great game as well. Just looking at the stats, like I've been doing all season, 195 metres he ran for in that final, which is, you know, second only to Matty Bowen, who ran for 196.
I thought you were going to say Mossy Masol then.
Oh, no, he's nowhere near.
Saying that tongue-in-cheek.
In fact, that could be an ugly itself, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Mossy Masol's involvement in the grand final, because he was a passenger for most of it. What was he doing, 9 minutes in his first stint?
Spent more time sat watching rather than playing.
9 minutes up to half-time, first 6 minutes of the second half, and off for a rest, and probably on for the last 10 minutes. I wish I had a job like that.
Yeah, I mean, we're always getting told that professional rugby league players are a lot fitter than players from years gone by, but my word.
Yeah, he was a bit like a modern day Pagliacino, wasn't he, during his Wigan days? They just rolled him on.
He used to get criticised for that.
Yeah, he probably made more metres as well, because Mossy Masol, just out of interest, 54 metres. But if you're listening, Mossy, there were 54 quality metres.
Stop sucking nuts to me. And you know what? I've actually walked further to the bar and back during that grand final than what he run on the pitch.
You do. I think you included two loo trips in that as well, didn't you, mate?
So, speaking about the grand final, it all came to a head at Old Trafford, Wigan versus Saints. I suppose with Saints winning the League Leaders Shield, it's only right that they won the grand final, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've had a bit of an odd one, really, haven't we? That in all the grand finals, bar the Division 1 Championship 1 final, of course, it's been first against second, and first has come out on top, but blimey, it made an ugly game of it though, didn't it? And well, I'm not just talking about that incident after 2 minutes, which saw Lance Ahia thumped and thumped again, but obviously there was more to that than meets the eye, as the Rugby League have found out by handing out a 6-month ban to Ben Flower. Now, some people were talking about banning him. He'd get sacked from the club, signed down.
Bit of an overreaction there.
I mean, some of that would just have gone on in the 1980s. It wasn't a problem, was it?
Exactly.
Weren't a problem at all. I mean, you know, you was chatting to your ex-favourite Widnes player, weren't you, the other week, who's come over specially to celebrate.
King Kurtz.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't have lasted 2 minutes in a rugby league field these days, would he, in that respect?
No, not at all, but it was a bad incident. It's the heat of the moment, isn't it? And he's done it, he's had to accept his punishment. But the RFL did see it differently, because Lance O'Hare also got banned as well for the forehand that he gave Ben Flower before that incident.
Well, yeah, I don't think that helped the incident, put it that way. And had Lance O'Hare not done that, would we even be talking about a Ben Flower thumping him to the ground? But it's that second punch which everybody's talking about, isn't it? I don't think anybody's got a qualm about the first punch, and you know, things happen in the heat of the moment. People's talked about it. You know, we're going to be hearing from both coaches and their views on what went on. But for me, yeah, he's done it. He'll go down in history. It's like Sid Hines from Leeds as the first bloke to get sent off in a Challenge Cup final, and Richie Ears for you know, way back when. You know, it's just, he's made himself part of history, and it's something that they'll always talk about. But to be honest, I think that is what ultimately cost Wigan that game. Although St Helens were very, very scruffy and didn't play the most attractive of rugby league, they played the winning brand of rugby league when push came to shove, didn't they, and managed to overturn Wigan in the second half. Although for me, Wigan were marginally the better playing side, in fairness.
I actually thought it was a great start to a game, and best start to the game I've seen in years, that. Yeah. All the high tackles and the
I think the first hit up, the first two hit-ups certainly got everyone on the feet, and then Bentham gave a penalty on the third hit-up, which was a bit I thought it was one of them. If it was in the NRL, it wouldn't have been a penalty, do you know what I mean? It was maybe a bit, I think it was a high tackle he'd give a penalty for, and it was one of them, and I was sort of thinking, the crowd are getting really up for this. The first two hit-ups, two or three hit-ups, have been brilliant, and then all of a sudden it's a penalty and everyone's like, oh. But yeah, I mean, I think, in fairness, I think the red card actually made a game of it, really, because I think if it had been 13-13, I think Wigan would have wiped the floor with St Helens, to be honest.
I think everyone did, and I think by Saints winning it, by the way, it probably mucked up everybody's betting slip. So I think the bookies were made up.
Yeah, they probably were. I think there's only people in the likes of St Helens, Ashton in Makerfield and Haydock which probably made money off it, because they would have just backed them willy-nilly, wouldn't they?
Certainly would have. St Helens, all right, okay. Good effort from Wigan to stay in the game, by the way. But like you said, Wigan at St Helens just come up with that winning formula.
Yeah, they just managed to grind it out, didn't they? And especially when they had to readjust in the halfbacks, and you ended up with James Robey all over the field. I mean, that man, you know that I'm a big fan, and I always speak highly of James Robey. And I think it's a great shame that he's not going to be going down to Australia with the England squad for the Four Nations. But he's one of those guys that, he's really inspirational just through his actions. You know, defensively, he only missed one tackle. He made like 30, 40 tackles in the game. He ran for 138 metres. He put the most passes out and turned the ball around. So for me, there's not a player in that St Helens jumper, bar Paul Wellens, of course, who deserves to win that game more.
When Makinson got the winning try, you got the impression St Helens thought the game was won, because they celebrated like the game was over. But what a sublime kick from Paul Wellens.
It was a lovely kick, wasn't it? And, you know, Wellens, he can still do the business, can he, at club level? He was heavily criticised, quite a bit by me, to be honest, at international level, where I always felt he was just a little bit slow for playing at international standard during his time in the limelight. But for St Helens, has not been a better club man that they've had in years. You know, you talk about the modern era, and there's three, four players which stand out, aren't there? You know, you've got Kieran Cunningham, you've got Paul Sculthorpe, you've got Paul Wellens, and of course James Robey. Without those four, we won't be talking about St Helens being the club that they are, which is you know, one that has got themselves well and truly back on the horse for winning trophies and putting themselves in positions to win trophies.
Missed out Roy Haggerty there.
Ah, he's from the 80s. I was saying modern era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's all right, Roy, actually.
Okay. Nathan Brown, by the way, he mentioned before the grand final he's going home, and that's a nice farewell present to leave, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's. I mean, a lot of people don't like Nathan Brown, but I actually quite like him. I think he's added. He's a personality for Super League, I think, and I think we've got a few very drab coaches. And I think Nathan Brown was one of those where you could always get a good quote out of him, a good story out of him. And I think one of my favourite playoff memories actually is when he cheered that Leroy Cudjoe try down the wing at Warrington when Huddersfield beat Warrington a couple of years ago. I think it's a bit of a strange one, I think, Saints winning the league. It might just be me that feels this, but it's been a bit of a strange year because Saints sort of have finished top of the league but have been in crisis almost for the whole season. And sort of they did their best to throw away the first place and they didn't, and they've kept it. And nobody gave them a chance in the playoffs and they've gone and won the playoffs. And I think it's almost like the season's passed everybody else by and Saints have just happened to be the ones that have clung on to it. I mean, I certainly think, like, Warrington never really got going. Leeds had a little bit of a good start and then they sort of faded away. And I think it's been a bit odd in that respect.
Yeah, I suppose it's been one of them seasons where nobody's been fully consistent, have they? And you do sort of question it. But, you know, Saints have been they've been the last team left standing and you've got to give them some immense credit, haven't you?
Well, I mean, regardless of what anybody else does, at the end of the day, you know, Saints have won more games than everybody else and that in itself, you know, deserves credit. And to be fair, you've got to give them even more credit for doing it without, you know, some key players at times. And, you know, Saints fans have been, you know, calling for Nathan Brown's head for most of the season. You know, every time they try against or they lose, you know, it's Brown out all over the social media and stuff like that. And they've not really warmed to him as much. But then inside two seasons, he's got them to the top of the tree, and that's something that they've not, you know, it's pushing 10 years, isn't it, since they last won it? And I think, considering the amount of injuries that they've had over the 2 years, you can't really take that away from Nathan Brown, what he's done, I think. So I just think maybe in terms of the other teams, I think everyone's sort of got used to this. Everyone's got a bit complacent, haven't they, the big teams? They've sort of thought, well, we can cruise through the first sort of two-thirds of the season and then sort of switch it on towards the end of the season. Leeds obviously had the distraction with the Challenge Cup. Warrington ended up having that tough... They had a tough run at the end of the season, didn't they, where they played... Their playoffs effectively started 2 or 3 weeks early because they had, was it Wigan and Saints the last two games? And then, you know, they had a tough going over by Widnes in the first round of the playoffs, whereas in previous years, they probably would have been in a position where that first round playoff game might not have necessarily been as intense as it was. But, like you say, you can't take anything away from Saints, and I know that Saints have been disappointed by, obviously, you know, much of the attention on Saturday has been on the incident, and that sort of detracted away from the fact that Saints have won Super League for the first time in a long while.
So it was well deserved, and our man Steve Manning stepped inside the winner's enclosure to catch up with a couple of the Saints heroes.
Congratulations, you're a champion.
It's fantastic. It's what I come up to this club to do, and I moved my family all the way up to from London to St Helens, and I've got a smile printed on my face, and I just don't know what to say.
Can you pinch yourself? Because, I mean,
I've been pinching myself and it ain't working, so... But I don't know what to do. I'm just absolutely buzzing, and I can't put words into sentences. I'm just waffling all over the joint.
So can we just rewind then to the game? I know it's probably gone and past you, but I'll speak about it.
Yeah. 2 minutes.
What happened after 2 minutes? I mean...
Well, all 2 minutes was two teams that wanted to be physical, and obviously... One team broke and they got their man sent off. I think the ref saw it right, and that's what happens in big games. And then it was just a war of nutrition. Then I think we just had to go into the game and calm our heads down. I think for the next 20 minutes we were trying to score a try every set, and it didn't pay off. But it doesn't matter how we won.
You know, you're 6-2 down, they score before half time, and it works both ways, that, doesn't it? But two tries and you keep a Wigan side with its 12 or 13 pointless.
Yeah, no, they're a fantastic outfit. I can't speak highly of them. I've got two of my mates to play for them, so I know how good they are. And with 12 men, they're not going to become easier. They're going to become harder because they know they need to work for each other. And like I said, we just ground it out and we just kick chase long and we just hunted the mistake. And as soon as we got the mistake, Sia scored, and it was unbelievable. Then the floodgates opened and we got another one, so it was fantastic.
I mean, you'll all be cult heroes for years and years and years to come, but what a fitting way for Sia to finish his career at the Saints.
Yeah, fantastic. Sia is a man of few words, but when he speaks, everyone listens, and he's a great person to have around in the change room. Same with Willie Marnoux. I've learnt so much off him this year. obviously me adapting to the different positions. I've had to learn so much off him, and Anthony and Frankie is just like one of them calming voices that's in the changing room. And he's just a man that's been there, done it at a big stage for his club and country. And we're sending all three of them home with a nice ring on their finger. So hopefully they can get first class upgrades.
And a kick's is only as good as its chase, and that's what it was in relation to Tommy's try.
Exactly. And I think, like I told you, I think we had to change our whole ethos halfway through the season when we lost all the key players, and we did. And that was the ethos, just to kick chase, and we went won it. And then today we've done that and we've won. So it's not a bad tried and tested game plan. I think to win the grand final with no halfbacks on the field is a great feat. Against the Wigan outfit, which has won Super Leagues and Challenge Cups in the past, and they play to their ethos, and we play to ours, and we won. I think we just as a collective absolutely fought for every inch on that field, and that's what got us over the line in the end.
Well, Lance O'Hire, first of all, congratulations on being part of this. I don't know, for a few minutes, but you're a champion.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it was only for a few minutes. Very disappointed about that. Obviously, I would love to have been out there for the entire game. But it wasn't to be tonight. And I've said earlier that, you know, these things can happen in rugby league, and, you know, people can, you know, do some silly things that they regret. And, I guess, you know, I can just revel in the fact that we've got a title to celebrate tonight with my teammates, and, you know, it's something that I'll remember for the rest of my life.
I only saw the two punches, unfortunately. Did you see what led up to it? Was it just something out of the blue?
Oh, I just think it was obviously the heat of the moment thing, you know. There's obviously a big occasion, and there's a lot at stake, and emotions are high, and, you know, both teams are pumped up for the game. And but in terms of the incident itself, I mean, I don't really remember too much, but, I've said earlier, I'm not a person that holds grudges, and, you know, I was sort of happy to leave that out on the field and move forward.
I think from an Elton state of view, there was no way that you're going to come back on the field, I don't think, was there?
No, the doctor wouldn't let me play after that. Obviously, you know, any time you get a concussion or you've been knocked out, you're not able to take the field again. If it were up to me, I probably would have went back out on the field. And but obviously, you know, my wife's probably happy that I didn't. She's sitting in the crowd with our kids, and you know, my health has got to come first before anything else. And you know, looking back, the right choice was made by the doc.
How pleasing is it personally, as a club side, to prove these doubters wrong? Like you say, you've not had the credit, perhaps all season, from a lot of quarters.
Yeah, it's more so for, you know, obviously my teammates and I. You know, we obviously train with each other every day and understand, you know, the set of the sacrifices that we make, and the belief that we have amongst each other, and obviously the fans that have turned up for us, you know, throughout the year in the cold and rain, and our families and friends as well, that support us. So, you know, this one's, you know, for them as much as it is for the boys. And I'm looking forward to celebrating for the next couple of days.
And how good does it feel to be a champion of champions?
Yeah, it feels great, to be honest. You know, I've had some success on the international scene with the Kiwis, and you know, that was great, and definitely, you know, this is right up there with my biggest achievements in my career.
Well, Tommy, a winner's ring, grand final.
What can you say? You know, I'm absolutely ecstatic. It's what dreams are made of, innit? I'm so happy, and, you know, finally get a ring, and for the fans, it's brilliant.
And part of the dream as well, you went over for a try as well. How good was that?
Yeah, I've managed sneaking for two here, you know, and they've both just been important. You know, first grand final here in 2011 against Leeds, I lost, and, you know, to finally get me home back here, it's a special moment, you know that.
And coming from behind 6-2, they scored just before half time. It shows the character of the boys, considering what happened after 2 minutes.
Yeah, you know, it took a lot of guts and determination to come back. You know, we knew they had 12, you know, 12 men, and, you know, it took a lot of pride and determination to get over the line, but, you know, we knew what we had in the tank, and, you know, wore them down in the end, and, you know, luckily we got the win. You know, you earned the rugby green, you know what I mean? You earned your luck, and, you know, we got that in the end, and, you know, see, you went over and I went over, and, you know, the rest is history.
And what a fantastic finish to the season. League leaders, people said you didn't deserve it, but you've proved any critic wrong tonight.
We've had a lot of doubters, haven't we, over the year, and, you know, losing Walsh here, Wilco and Lomax, everyone's wrote us off, and, you know, to, you know, stick it to him sort of in the end, it's a special moment, and it means so much, especially to the likes of Paul Wellings, who's been here, and James Roby for, many years, 12, 13 years, and they've lost 7 in a row. And, you know, to get them that tonight for them, it's, you know, it's a special, special moment.
And with Nathan as well, everybody will like being critical, but he's done the job in 2 years, hasn't he?
Nathan's a man, you know, he's done a lot for me, he's done a lot for the boys, you know, all the young fellas and the old fellas learn a lot of him. And, you know, it's for him as well. And, you know, he'll go back to Australia with a trophy in a league leader shield, so he won't be complaining.
It's a special feeling with you being a local lad.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant, you know, me being from Wigan, you know, it's hard, you know, and, you know, we managed to beat him in the end, but I'm sensed through and through now, and, you know, turn to the dark side if you want to put it like that. And just ecstatic, like I said, for Wellesley and Wilco and, you know, all these young fellas who's played the first grand final, they've managed to get it in, just over the moon.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
Oh, I'll tell you one thing, Parker. That was an exciting winner's enclosure. Thank you very much to Steve Mallon for stepping in there, going head-to-head with a Cockney, a New Zealander and a Wiganer.
So that's a great mix for a party, isn't it? It
certainly is.
It's like, see if you can name yourself three guests for a dinner party. Would one be from Wigan, one be from New Zealand, and one be from London?
Want to be doing the Haka, want to be doing what they do in London?
The Cockney Rebel.
Cockney Rebel.
I don't know, knees up Mother Brown.
What do they do in Wigan?
They chuck pies at each other.
Is that what they do?
Yeah. Although you'd be there waiting off it.
I'd be eating them.
You would be.
Picking up the crust off the floor.
Your pastry obsession.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, three great worthy winners. But before we move on with what we want to talk about, let's hear from the coaches. We're going to hear from Sean Wayne, and we'll hear from a very happy Nathan Brown.
Red punched him in the head, deserved to go. I've had a chat to him. He's devastated. He's done some good things for me, Ben. He's made an error today. But I have good thoughts in mind about Ben. He's, you know, he made a huge error today. We'll just move on. We're all in together. I made mistakes. He's made one today. He's revved up. Wigan and Saints derby, and everybody getting whacked off the ball, and he made an error. You know, whatever he gets, I'll stand by him, and I'll make sure that he understands that sort of thing cannot happen again. It's very, very simple. You know, he can't do that. But he'll learn. There's no Denise Robert got Ben Fleur about that. He'll be feeling bad today. I mean, you put yourself under pressure by playing with 12 men against a good team in St. Helens. You never know. What I will say is that I'm very, very proud, really proud of the desire we showed to stick at it. And, you know, we brought them time and time again and could have scored more tries. And, you know, end of the day, Ben's gone, let's move on. I thought we could have won the game, and that was my mindset. You know, I weren't trying to cover things up for Ben. I wanted to win the game, and it would have been a great victory for us. Keeping them to 14-6, we know Mickey Mack and Ben was a great effort, but Saints were the worthy winners. You know, the pressure there was under having 5 losses coming here. I can't imagine, you know, because I feel bad enough as it is today. But I mean, I'd rather talk about a positive. 12 players stuck at it against a very, very good St. Helens team. Yeah, we did have to change. We had to attack from certain positions in the field, and bear in mind all this tough period what we've had. We've trained with Mickey Mack and lose him. He's an influential player for us, so. And that's why I'm devastated we lost, but we showed a lot of the main characteristics in the man for me is guts and determination and desire, and all my players have that. It's rugby league. Sometimes it's very, very hard to keep a lid on things when it's so much at stake again between two really, really intense clubs. And, you know, I don't condone what he did, but sometimes it just tips over, and today it did. So, you know, rugby league's a real tough sport. I'd be devastated if I thought that damaged the reputation of we have the best game in the world. There's no question with that. And I think after that, it was a real rough, tough physical game of rugby league. Last couple of minutes, I knew he was under the pump. But I'll fight till the end. None of my players will give in, and we were desperate to win that game. Even more so when Ben went. You know, so the desire will always be there. You know, we'll never give in in a game like this.
He couldn't come back on, and he's a tough little fella, so that probably sums up where he was at. Yeah. He legally couldn't come back on because his concussion was too bad, so he wanted to come back on, but the referee had no choice, did he? He had no, I'm sure you guys agree with that. Over the years, been playing and coaching for a long time, so it's just probably the occasion that it happened in, isn't it? You know, we probably haven't quite seen that in a grand final. In the modern era, it probably happened in the olden days, didn't it? That's probably in the olden days it probably happened. It was more accepted, but I haven't seen anything like it in a grand final in my 25 odd years. Look, I think he served a fair punishment, hasn't he, Ben Flower? He got what he deserved, but I think he served. He'd be thinking at the moment, I cost my side a grand final. That's how he'd be thinking, you know. So I think his punishment there is what he's got already is a harsh punishment, isn't it? So, well, not harsh, but deserved. But he's served his time, and you know, the good thing for us is Lance hasn't broken anything, and Lance is okay to move forward. That's the key. Coming into the game, there was two players that we didn't want to get hurt. It was James Robey or Lance O'Hire, because they're the only two people who have played those positions throughout their career. And to lose Lance, obviously we moved Wello came up, and Tommy Makers went to fullback, and then Louis McCarthy, who's played front row, mostly played right centre. Yeah, I knew with 12 men, I knew if we were going to go on and win the game that it'd be scrappy and ugly and we wouldn't win by a lot. That's what I generally thought when he got sent off. And credit to the guys and with what they've done, it's, you know, with Mark Flanagan. If someone had said Mark Flanagan's going to play halfback in the grand final and Paul Wellen's going to be 5'8", Louis McCarthy's going to play centre, I think everyone would have broken in laughter, wouldn't they? And the boys did it and achieved it. And you know, it's the culture of the club that carried us through the back end of this year. You know, the winning culture the club's had for 16 years is unbelievable. And what James Robey and Paul Wellens and John Wilkin in particular have done for the club, and what they learned from Kieran Cunningham and Paul Sculthorpe over the journey, those type of people, is why we've won here. It wasn't any coaching genius. It wasn't any wonderful play from an individual. They, you know, we come up, put a plan together after our whole game, because the whole club had basically, after Walshy went, everyone thought the year's finished. So we devised a plan which was the best plan for the players we had. But it was James Robey and Paul Wellens and John Wilkin, even though John Wilkin wasn't playing, that drove it. And you know, their theory on life is that we're St Helens and we deserve to win and they don't know any better. And you know, it's the greatest thing I ever did coming here for 2 years. It's a great learning curve for me as a coach, because I've never seen anything like that, like this club's culture. I've never seen anything like it, and I'd be very, very surprised if it exists at any other place for such a long period of time. They can, in essence, try and bully you, don't they? And in the first game we played them, they bullied us and they got the spoils, you know. The next game, we took it back to them, and they didn't respond as well as they do when they're on top of you. That's the reality of it. That's how they like to play. And you know, coming into this game, there's lots of critics were talking about our halves, but the two things that surprised me most was is that all people wanted to talk about was the young Wigan players, and two of the best forwards on the field by a mile were Greg Richards and Luke Thompson. They were absolute standout players on the field, and no one ever mentioned them. Or Mark Percival is potentially the best young centre in England. No one mentioned him. You know, the other thing was, everyone, you know, Gary Schofield is, by the way, is my favourite English player. As a kid growing up, I loved him, you know. But he basically said our forward pack's useless and we've only got two forwards. That's what he said. You know, and that's, you know, we got to where we got to because we've got a good forward pack. I can understand people not tipping us because our halves were very, very different, if you like to put it like that. And we play a very, very different brand of footy because of the personnel we have. But to come out and say Wigan's going to beat us because we've only got two good forwards is really, really shows that maybe some people actually don't watch the game and actually understand what's going on in today's game.
Tell you one thing, Gary Schofield, eat humble pie.
He didn't pull any punches there, did he?
No.
And fair play to him as well, because ultimately, although everybody was fairly critical, and I mean, James himself was pretty critical of St Helens earlier on in the show, they've been there, they've been the last team standing at the end of the day, and, you know, fair play to him for picking up the trophy at the end of it.
That's what it's about, picking up the trophy and getting those rings on.
It is, it doesn't really matter about
it. I still have a medal, though.
I prefer
nice
a medal. I prefer a medal.
Yeah, I think a medal's better. But yeah, you don't get anything for playing nicely. You only get something for winning, and at the end of the day, they're not in 20 years' time, we're not going to remember that the Saints won ugly. We're just going to remember that Saints won.
They did. They won the League Leaders' Shield. They won the Grand Final, and they joined Leeds as the only other teams in Super League to get their hands on some silverware.
Great going.
Yeah, they've both got six Super League titles each now, I think, Saints and Leeds, so they're out.
Oh, we're not going to do all the separation, because, I mean, there was rugby league that existed before Super League, wasn't there?
There was. many years ago.
This is a can of worms, isn't it?
We'll discuss it on another show.
Put the lid back on. First of all, well done to Leeds Centurions as well for dominating the championship, because they did exactly what St Helens did, won the league leader's shield and then won the championship playoff as well.
A little bit more style in that league game though, which goes down as my favourite game of the year.
Alright, we're going to talk about that very, very shortly, by the way. But before we do that, it's all about the internationals. I went down to Manchester to catch up with the England boys before they got on a plane to go and take on the best of the Aussies in New Zealand and Samoa.
Excited, it's the first final squad that I've made, so it's obviously a new experience for me, and to do it over in Australia is going to be obviously that extra bit special, so it's something I'm really looking forward to, even if it does prolong the season a little bit longer.
Chris Hill flying the flag for Warrington, so is that good to have him alongside you?
Yeah, obviously he's he's been immense for Warrington all year, and obviously very unlucky to miss out on the Man of Steel, so but not to have that, obviously your teammate in them of you, but you know, when we come together, we all come together as a team, and all the lads just gel as one anyway, so I don't think it really matters if you've got one teammate or ten. I think once you're in the England squad, you're all teammates anyway, and you all just gel together.
Steve, I'm not giving you an idea where he might play if you do play.
No, just like I say, I'm not sure I'm in there because I can cover a few positions, but I've not actually spoken to Steve about it, so we'll just have to wait and see when we get over there. We'll have a big week of training and then see where we go from there. Yeah, you're right, it's going to be tough, but very exciting for everyone involved, so certainly looking forward to a big challenge down there, and looking forward to it as an individual as well, and it should be a great experience for everyone.
We know what to expect from New Zealand and Australia, but somewhere they're a totally different entity.
The Knights played them last year and won pretty well, but they did well in the World Cup, so going into the Samoa game, we're not sure who's going to be the full team and play, but we'll probably get an idea when we get down there, so we can focus on that and then obviously put that into training and preparing ourselves for what is going to be a tough battle and all that, and everyone should be up for it and willing to work hard and come up with a great performance. Yeah, it is very exciting. I don't want to look too far ahead into the future, and I'm a big believer in tech each week as it comes, and that's something that I'll be trying to do, and just focusing on training with England and getting settled in with the lads there, meeting up with the NRL boys over there and training hard and getting to know all the players and everything. So first things first, I've got to stay focused and positive and hopefully get my chance.
Can you buy me Darryl Clark for that hooking role? How do you think that one's going to pan out?
Yeah, I don't see why it should be good. I don't know what the coach's intentions are in terms of if he's going to go with Tuchel or Warnock. I'm not too sure. I had a very long chat with Steve, just a quick 5 minute chat, and I'll catch up with him once I get out there. But that was a great player, and I'm nowhere near surprised that he got picked for his country. He's been by far the best looker this year. And it's a tough position to get in. So at the same time, I was a bit shocked for me call, but more than grateful and very excited.
Yeah, it's massive. Going on side down under against Samoa, New Zealand, Australia. Massive teams, let's say the best in the world, mixed within the team, so it's going to be a massive challenge, but looking forward to it as well.
How's the challenge with the boys been for you so far?
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Now, obviously not everyone's been here all the way through, but yeah, it's been pretty good, pretty relaxed, and just getting a bit of hard work done before we go to keep on top of things. Obviously I'm happy I've won it and it would come my way, but obviously a massive surprise to me, and just pretty overwhelmed by the night, really.
Great night, wasn't it, because you did win two awards.
Yeah, like a big surprise to win them both, so it's something that will stick with me for a long time.
Michael Shane's a terrific season for yourself and the Casper Tigers, but for you, the good times continue because you are in the England squad to go take on the Aussies and the best of New Zealand and somewhere in the Four Nations.
No, yeah, it's a massive challenge. But it's great to keep the season going. I've had a great time, really enjoying my rugby through this season, and obviously playing the team I have done this year has played with a lot of confidence, and I've played the brand that we have done has kind of helped my game being out wide and with some quality halfbacks as well, so that's really helped, and it's great to be back in the setup with the boys and to go on tours. I've done it before, and it is one of the most special memorable moments of your career, so to do it again, and hopefully this time I'll come back injured, just I get to start there for the full duration this time.
Actually, have you been involved before? Did you think your time had gone by this stage?
A little bit, yeah. I think we had some bad luck with a couple of injuries with my ankle and then my elbow, so we think all the players have got players are kind of coming in and cemented the place in the squad, so it's still a lot of hard work and a bit of luck, I suppose, and caught the eye of the coaching staff to get back in, and it's helped with a club with a team playing so well this year. It's helped me really, so I'm grateful for the opportunity and I'm up for a new fresh challenge.
It's my son Tompkins' first year. Yeah, that road going busted. How was it for him?
Yeah, it was good. Disappointing finish, really. Not quite making the playoffs. We missed out on points difference. But no, I've really enjoyed being there. It's, you know, where I live in things, it's a nice, beautiful place.
Is there any sense what to expect for the forthcoming four nations?
Yeah, you know, the teams we're up against are going to be tough. I think Samoa have got a really good squad together. And the other two, you know, the Kiwis and the Aussies, we know what they present as a challenge for us. But, you know, I think we've got a very, very good squad, exciting squad, and there's no reason we shouldn't go out there confident.
And the squad, how much of a boost is it for the Super League base guys to have so many NRL base players in the squad?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, there's probably a number of the players here today that could go out and be quality players in the NRL if they wanted at some point. You know, Josh Hodgson's, you know, what he's going to go and give it a go next year. So yeah, I think it's good. You know, the boys over in Australia are obviously doing very well. You know, and they'll be a big help. And you know, probably when playing against the Aussies, the lads that play in the NRL, we could probably, you know, have a little bit more insight into a few more of the players.
Just looking at Australia, they've been not first and not included, so that a boost as well.
Yeah, it's always handy if someone like him is not playing. They just need about another 10 runs to drop out, and then we'll cruise it. But yeah, I think, you know, we're not bothered who's going to be playing against us. You know, they're not short of talented players in Australia. You know, if he drops out, then you know, Daly Cherry Evans will come up or something like that. So it's not a case of, you know, trying to get them on when they're going to be weak, and they're going to have quality from 1-17, no matter what happens.
Any question? Can we do it?
Yeah, 100%.
There you go. Sam Tompkins says 100% we can do it.
Wow, he's confident, isn't he? But well done you for pinning him down and getting an interview. He's like the hardest man to interview in rugby league, isn't he?
Not to worry, Sam. Jared Haynes dropped out as well, so just number 8 to go and we're cruising.
Yeah, I can't believe that. He's decided to take his hand and try and get to America to take on NFL.
Jared Haynes, NFL, could he do it?
It's very brave to chuck in your job. Which he has done to basically go and play American football, so it'd be interesting. Because I mean, it's a bit of a daft time to do it as well. Because the NFL season's sort of only about 6 weeks old, so he's not going to join someone mid-season. So he's basically not going to hit a training camp until maybe March, April next year. So a bit of strange timing. But yeah, it's certainly one to keep an eye out.
We had Darrell Clark in that gang of England players that are on the plane to Australia, and he was announced as the Man of Steel winner and Young Player of the Year as well. Other winners on the night, Darrell Power got Coach of the Year, Widnes Vikings Club of the Year, Warrington Wolves got Foundation of the Year, Individual Awards, Top Metre Maker was Matthew Russell of Warrington. He ran 3,546 metres.
Wow.
You like that stat?
I'm impressed with your stats, Adrian.
The hitman was James Roby. He made 1,054 tackles.
Did you count them?
I did, every one of them. Top gun was Luke Walsh. Now, this time around for the top kicker, they didn't go with the number of goals scored. They went on their percentage, and he came up with the highest percentage of 78.57%. Where did he get the 0.57 from?
Oh, he's probably missed one and where they divide it. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. I just put these stats together sometimes.
And the top try scorer, Joel Monaghan. Proven again, he's been a good signing for Warrington, 28 tries for the season.
Makes me wonder what they'll end up doing next year, though. They might end up averaging it by tries per game or something if they've done
1.1
that for the kickers. You never know.
Very confusing. Also this year, we say farewell to Matt Diskin, John Clark, Richard Horn, David Hodgson, Willie Manu, Martin Gleeson and Francis Mellon. Don't say it. Because off there you said something really bad about Francis Milley.
That's a huge chunk of salary cap that's going begging for next season, isn't it? Everybody will be rubbing their hands together thinking, what can we spend this on?
Certainly at Salford anyway.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, to be fair, Milley didn't really have that good a season, did he?
No, not at all. But I'm sure he'll look back on it with fondness.
I've been a bit kind to him there, haven't I? A bit kinder than when we were talking about it off her before we went on.
Everyone thought Jamie Peacock would have got Man of Steel with Darrell Clark, worthy winner.
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously the players vote for it, don't they? So I think they probably know best. I think Jamie Peacock, he probably could have won it for the past 3 or 4 years. He's been incredible. I think he's almost like a victim of his own success. It's because he does it year in, year out that he doesn't stand out, because I think everyone expects it of him. So, you know, he's getting on a bit now, so he might be running out of time to win it. But I don't think anyone can argue with Darrell Clark. And, you know, he's got his big move to Warrington out of it as well. So it'll be interesting to see how he does it. You know, it's a bit of a different environment, I guess, at Warrington compared to Castleford, where, you know, there's not as great as expectation, there's not as great a scrutiny on your performance, but I'm sure he'll do well for Warrington.
Oh, what always for next year for Roby and Peacock? It may be their year, mightn't it?
It could be. I mean, for me, Roby should have walked it this year. He's been superb for St Helens. So again, it's your St Helens have been overlooked when it's come down to the final makeup of the awards, hasn't it?
They seem to be quite unfashionable, don't they, St Helens?
They do for
some reason. And I'm not sure where it stems from, but, you know, given that, like we were saying earlier, they sat on top of the league for, you know, the bulk majority of the season, and they've been overlooked in the awards. They've not got anyone in the England squad, and it's, you know, it's a little bit, you know, what's created that? Is that the fans themselves that have created that at St Helens that put it down on what they've done? I don't know. But I'm sure, to be fair, St Helens probably benefit from it because all their players will now be on holiday, you know. And whereas compare that to Wigan, Warrington, Leeds, etc., all their players won't be coming back till middle of December after having been in Australia for 4 weeks. And not start pre-season until later on.
Unfortunately for the world of rugby league, the sun is going down, certainly in the UK anyway.
Oh, I like what you did
as
there.
As England get ready to take on the Aussies and New Zealand. Can we do it?
And then the sun certainly will set. The sun certainly will set on England's chances.
Good luck to Wales, Ireland and Scotland as well. They're taking part in the European Trophy.
I think that's going to be the more interesting tournament, in all honesty.
Because we can get to the games and not go in Australia.
Well, that's true, because, you know, there's a game in Derwent Park up at Workington, there's a game in Scotland at Gala Shields, there's one in Wrexham as well.
Certainly is, and closer to home as well. You want to watch the next generation of rugby league stars of the future, England taking on the Aussie schoolboys over in Lee.
Yeah, best stadium in country.
You'd say that because you're from Lee.
I know. That's why I'm biased.
It is the final hooter, and we've got our awards to give away, haven't we? So we've got some categories to go through.
Hang on, what are we going to call it? You know, everything, you know, you've got the Oscars, you've got
the cherries,
got everything else. What are we going to give it now?
The raspberries. I don't know.
What's it going to be?
I don't know.
Could you not call it the Hooters?
The Hooters.
Hang on, there's a bar somewhere that's going to be taking us to court, I think.
The final Hooters.
The Hooties.
Okay, then. We've got some categories. We've got best game, worst game, most improved club, biggest underachievers, best rugby league moment, biggest rugby league story, personality of the year. So, first of all, best game, David Parkinson.
Best game, you're going to call me biased here again, but I'm going to say Lee, grand final win against Featherstone Rovers. I thought that, to be honest, for that one, being in a grand final, the way that Lee played it, with some sublime handling at times and some great rugby league, they scored plenty of tries, and basically, bar a 25-minute stint, Featherstone weren't in that game.
Best game for me, Leeds versus Wigan at the Magic Weekend.
Go on.
Enough said.
I thought you was going to expand on it.
Oh, no. Just the excitement, the intensity that we've
been looking for. So I've gone and talked for the last 2 minutes there about that Lee win, and you didn't want that.
No, you can do. You say whatever you like.
I want to wax lyrical.
Yeah, okay. That Leeds Wigan game, it had the intensity that we all know rugby league can produce, and it had that sensational end as well, where Wigan defeated the mighty Rhinos.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It was a really intense game, that, wasn't it? And quite controversial as well, because at the time Leeds were flying, weren't they, in the season, and were looking really, really good.
James, your best game?
My best game of the season. You're putting me on the spot a little bit.
Hang on, we slipped you the piece of paper about 25 minutes ago. I've been struggling to think.
It wasn't the best match, but my most memorable match of the season is that. That's not a category, is it? I'm not robbing that. I think the most memorable match of mine is the Hull nil Widnes 7. I think that'll go. I'll remember that game for the rest of my life. I think
I'm going to give that the strangest scoreline of the year award.
Are we making one up?
Let's make another one up.
There's not been loads of great matches this season. I think the one the other week, Wigan Warrington, I think everyone was raving about that, weren't they? The playoff game.
It was a great
16,
game.
Is it 16?
16-12.
So.
Probably because of the ending to it, because Wigan score a try with about 30 seconds left, and that's just the way that you dream of games ending, isn't it? Yeah, if you're a neutral anyway. Probably if you're a Wigan or a Warrington fan, you would have been turning your hair out by then.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that one stands out. I think there's not been many great matches this season, but hopefully that'll be rectified in the new era.
Every minute counts, hopefully.
Every minute matters.
Yeah, that as well. Okay, worst game for me. Sorry, London, but any game involving London Broncos.
Any game?
Any game.
It's a little bit harsh, isn't it? No, they beat Leeds.
I don't know how.
It was an amazing result, that 40-36. Tackle bags got put on to one side, I think.
I mean, I've got an opinion over that result. I mean, I think there's a lot of criticism out there about the team that Leeds put out, and it's just one of them. I think that sort of result would not happen next season, or I'd like to think that sort of result wouldn't happen, but you are right. I think the worst game, I think, was London Bradford, which was about 54-50, whatever it was.
Oh, I think I seem to recall one that London played against Wakefield as well, which was really, really poor, to be honest, and there was more knock-ons than anything. My award for this one, I've actually got two games. Can I mention two games?
Oh, go on then. Well, it's the end of the season, go ahead.
The main grand final, terrible game. The grand final of Super League was a terrible, terrible turgid affair this year.
Okay.
There was
70,000 are going to disagree with you, but
I'm used to people disagreeing with me, so I've got broad shoulders, I can handle it. But the other shared award for this was Wakefield 12, Widnes 10.
Oh, that was awful game.
But both of those teams on that day, they just didn't want to win those 2 points at
all. That was my first game back, actually. We were talking before about I was away for 4 weeks in the middle of the season, and after I'd not been a game for 5 weeks, and that was the first one when I came back, and obviously being a Widnes fan, The result wasn't great either, so...
Yeah, now you've got to reveal where you went. Because
No, just I was at the World Cup in Brazil, just a quick trip over.
I thought you was going to mention your time sharing, lad, don't you?
No.
I think any game back in the UK after the trip to Brazil would be dull.
Could be. Yeah, it'd be that samba.
I don't remember it as being a particularly bad match, but maybe that was just because it was the first one that I'd seen for a few weeks and I'd forgot the rules or something.
It was terrible. It was. I'm not letting you get away with that one. Yeah. It was awful.
I think any club that we mentioned involved in the worst game should repay the fans the money back.
They should do, but then again, Wakefield would be skint and Widnes would be dipping into Steve O'Connor's pocket yet again, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would do, so that's not going to happen. Most improved club for me, Parky, Casper Tigers.
They've had a great year. Absolutely great year. You could mention Widnes in that.
You could.
I know I've just criticised them for being involved in the worst game of the season.
I know they got Club of the Year in the Man of Steel Award tonight, but I'm going to go Cass Tigers.
Cass have been marvellous for most of the year, to be honest. They played an exciting brand of rugby league. Daryl Powell's had them playing some great stuff, and the likes of Michael Shenton for him to get recognised internationally, and obviously they've got Daryl Clark in the Man of Steel and Player of the Year, and Warrington spotted something there because he's going to be wearing their famous colours next season, isn't he?
He certainly is. For yourself, most improved club, are you agreeing with me there?
I'm agreeing with you there.
Wow.
But I've got a different selection, strangely enough.
Come on.
Gateshead Thunder.
Oh, okay.
We don't tend to mention a lot of stuff that goes on in Championship 1, but they've gone under the radar all season. Stanley Jean went in there at the start of the year, and he was combining that with his job with Hull Kingston Rovers, being on their coaching staff, and he's led them into the playoffs, which I think has just been magnificent for them. They've built it off a lot of local lads and players, to be honest, who have been offset and sent packing at various other places. I'm thinking the likes of Lee Maples as well, who's led a chequered career amongst the championships, and he's been running in tries for fun there. They've also got a halfback called Mead, who recently played for Czech Republic.
He scored six tries
in a game. That's just magnificent, isn't it?
So see how they go next year then.
So I think that obviously with what's happened with Stanley Jean, he's now left his position at Hull Kingston Rovers in the great shake-up of what's happened behind the scenes there, and he'll be hoping to go into this new era guiding Gateshead from the front, and I think that they'll push for promotion next year.
Well, Gateshead are obviously based at have got a tie with Newcastle Falcons Rugby Union Club now, haven't they, and they play at Kingston Park. So obviously with the pathway up to Super League now reopened, I think that sort of thing means that people can look at these clubs and think, well, actually, if we invest a bit of time and money in this, we could actually get somewhere, whereas that wasn't necessarily the case before.
Most improved club for you, James? Who was it?
Yeah, I think we'll have to go. I'll have to go Casford, I think, as well. As much as I'd like to say, but just, I think, to be fair, I think Casford, you'd be able to judge maybe the success of this season would be better judged next season, because it's one of them. They've lost a few players, and you're not sure how they're going to go next season. And it might be, you know, is this season going to be a bit of a one-off wonder? Whereas, sort of with Widnes that you mentioned, Widnes has sort of been building year on year, haven't they? I guess this year you're saying Widnes are the most improved club, because it's actually, you can date that back 3 years where they've gradually improved year on year. I mean, the interesting thing about Cass and the Man of Steel is actually Cassford have won the Man of Steel, you know, was it three of the last twice in the last 4 years now, because obviously Rangy Chase won it in 2011.
Yeah. I was just thinking, because it was something which I've used in commentary over the season as well, but if they're going to have a season like you're predicting for next year, will we be calling them Toothless Tigers next year?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously it's very important to get in the top eight, and you'd imagine that teams like Hull and Salford are thinking, well, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Casford and Widnes could drop out the top eight.
They could end up playing Lee and Bradford and London next season, couldn't they? And
we don't want that.
I wouldn't mind. Might have a chance of winning a couple.
Biggest underachievers for me, Parky. Salford Red Devils, despite all the millions and putting the team together, it just never worked for them.
No, I think that just shows you can't just pick up the telephone book and start hoping to put a team together and start with telephone numbers as well, because the money that Marwan Kukash has paid out over the year has been, I think, what did he say? He's paid £3 million out of his own money since he's gone in at Salford. That's a ridiculous amount to be chucking away. And when you consider that they probably got the best of the play over the course of this particular season out of the young kids that have been coming through their own academy, it just shows where the money perhaps should have been directed all along. So, you know, your likes of your Francis Mellie, who we mentioned before, terrible buy. I can't believe that they did waste the amount of money that they did, to be fair. But I do agree with you there, although, surprise, surprise, I've got someone different.
Oh, yeah, who have you gone for?
I've gone for Hull.
Yeah, Hull, good shout.
Yeah, Hull, they always spend big, don't they? They always bring Australians across that they say are the greatest thing since sliced bread, and ultimately they've not had any cutting edge all season. If it wasn't for the fact that he's took on a bit of a rebuilding job, I fancy that Lee Radford could have been at the end of the dull queue at the end of the season, because I think any other club he would have been out the door, to be fair. And again, there's a massive rebuilding job that's got to go on at that club, because the players that they brought over on 3 and 4 year contracts, absolutely not the type of player that you want in your clubs.
Certainly not.
Yeah, they seem to have to rebuild every year, Hull, don't they? I mean, I wonder whether Adam Pearson's looking at it thinking, I wish we'd got Darryl Powell in. Because, I mean, Hull have got everything, haven't they, apart from the team? You know, they've got the setup there in the stadium and the fan base and stuff to be a big club, and they're just not doing it on the pitch, and you know, you've got to wonder why that's not the case.
I mean, you're right, they should be challenging along with you, like your Wiggins, your St Helens, your Leeds, your Warringtons of this world, shouldn't they? They shouldn't be, you know, outside that top eight.
And that's where for clubs like Widnes, is obviously at the moment you look at Widnes being in the current top eight, they'll be sort of looking outside because Hull are there. Do you know what I mean? Because Hull are out of there and they shouldn't really be out of there, it means that next season when you're pushing for the top eight, you know that there's actually, you know, there's a pretty big club that's not made it who's going to be challenging.
You could also include Old Kingston Rovers in there as well. Let's put both. Humberside is basically an underperforming area.
You'll be getting tweets galore for saying that, Dave, I think.
I don't mind.
Moving along, let's go on to the best rugby league moment. And for me, it happened after the grand final. Paul Wellens, he realised after all that heartache, he realised he finally won. And his emotions were all over the place. It just summed it up for me.
Yeah, he collapsed, didn't he, into the in-goal area and started clutching at the ground and picking up blades of grass and chucking them up to the sky. It was great, to be honest. And I mean, rugby league and sport generally is all about emotions and moments and minutes. And when you see something like that, and you see that, you know that he's worked so hard over the course of his career, and he's been in so many losing grand finals. There was that old saying, wasn't there, you had to lose one to win one.
He's lost five,
you know, so for him to turn it round and finally end up on the winning side of things.
You mentioned the grass, by the way. I don't think he'd have been sticking it in the bag to take home, because he's a Man City fan.
No, what's he doing?
He burnt it.
What's he doing being a Man City fan? He's from Liverpool Overspill, isn't he? St Helens. It's just odd, really. My moment of the year was probably Leeds ending the Challenge Cup drought, because we've talked about clubs being big and the fact that Hull should be challenging all the time. You'd fancy Leeds should have been doing a lot better over the course of the last 15 years with the players that they've had and everything like that. They've had the building blocks in place for many a season. They've won countless Super League trophies. They've, you know, done really well when it's got round to that side of things, but that Challenge Cup has always seemed to elude them slightly, hasn't it? But not this year. And it was great seeing them lift the trophy at the end of a tough game against Castleford.
What's been your rugby league moment of the year, James? Putting you on the spot.
I'm going to say the golden point at extra time in the Championship One Grand Final.
Oh, I like that. Hunslet.
Yeah.
Hunslet have had a great year. But, you know, we've got to give credit to them as well. I've already spoken about Gateshead.
Because I only say that because I had a really long day. I had to be at the Championship One Grand Final for 10:30 in the morning because I was doing something with the sponsors. And that game didn't kick off till 4:05, and I was thinking, am I going to last this full day? And I'm glad I stayed for that one because, you know, for him to tie it up at 16-16, and then they were both going at it, and then it went, there was a few hapless drop goal attempts, and then it went to extra time, and I think that's the first game I've ever seen it live actually go to golden point. And obviously it was actually quite an important match because to win that match for Hunslet gets them in the top 24 for next season, which is, you know, is quite important. And they've actually got a bit of money behind them, Hunslet, on the sly, and they've got a link up with Leeds, and they could actually cause a few teams, you know, a couple of problems next season.
Well, I noticed that they brought in James Feather as well, who's a really intelligent pro. Played all his career at Keighley. I know it's an unfashionable club, but, you know, he's one of these guys that basically, I'm sure they built Cougar Park around him for the last 10 years, to be fair. So, you know, they've already got a couple of people in key positions that are going to push them forward. I'll be with you with that, but I also think greatest disappointment, if we're looking at that side of things, is Oldham losing again, because that's what,
six in eight years
that they've lost. They've got to the grand final and then they've not been able to go all the way through and win it.
I mean, it probably should. Save somebody a few headaches though, because there's no way Oldham could play in the Championship with that ground that they've got.
I reckon they have plans to go to Lee Sports Village between you, me, the Garden Gate and the rest of everybody else listening.
They might as well cut to the chase and just play every Championship match at Lee Sports Village if Oldham are going to go in.
I'm sure the Lee Sports Village won't mind as well.
There's that many teams playing there now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Biggest rugby league story for me, the Bradford saga.
It was the longest running.
It was, wasn't it?
It was serialised. It'll be in books for years to come, I think. It just went on and on and on, didn't it? You know.
They just wouldn't accept the punishment.
They wouldn't accept that they'd done wrong. They wouldn't accept that they needed new owners. And I don't know, it just went on and on and on. By the time it got round to about March, May, June, July, it carried on and on, and I got fed up with it, to be honest. It was longest running rugby league story of the season, definitely. For me, the biggest story is the shake-up of the divisions for me, because I reckon that next year is when, as you mentioned, rugby league matters, every minute matters, every game is important, because everybody's going to be playing for something, be it promotion, be it against relegation, be it to take part in these qualifyings, because they're going to have a top eight run in the last few weeks of the season to decide who goes into the top four to play for the Super League Grand Final. There's going to be promotion into Super League, because the bottom four of Super League will be looking over the shoulder thinking, we don't want to end up in these positions. And when you've got the likes of Bradford, who's invested heavily in the squad, you've got the likes of London, who's bringing over plenty of players, Lee have gone full time, Halifax and Fev aren't going to be too far away. Yeah, I reckon that is going to be absolute cracker. And I know that I'm talking and I'm probably sounding really biased there, but I can't wait.
It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out, and it'd be interesting to see how long we stick with it.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? Rugby league hasn't got a great track record for longevity, really, when it comes to their ideas. They usually come up with a good one, try it out for a couple of seasons, just as everybody's getting used to it, let's boot it into touch. I mean, they've done that with the bonus point system as well. Mm. That's something that has worked in the lower divisions for years, but just because a few Super League coaches and players can't add up, they've decided to ditch it and boot it into touch for next season. So I don't really get that.
Finally, in our award tonight, personality of the year. Dot the coup cash.
You know something, Adrian? For the first time this season...
You're going to agree with me?
I am going to agree with you.
Amazing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It finally happened. But yeah, every time the guy's opened his mouth, it's been a rugby league story.
It's been comical. He's been great value.
He's been great for the sport. I know everybody's looked at him at times and thought, what the heck is he going on about? But I tell you what, every time he has spoken up, every time he has done something, it has created waves in rugby league. And we need people like that around, I think, to keep rugby league in the limelight.
On that note, I might leave you with a bombshell.
Go on.
A coup cash related bombshell.
Go on.
With regards to Salford Red Devils, may not be Salford Red Devils for too much longer.
Swinton Red Devils.
Oh, I'm not saying any more, but
Bolton Red Devils, are they moving? They're not going to Australia, are they? I don't think,
I did read a story the other day that Canada are looking at entering the championship.
Oh, that's it, Toronto. The Toronto Red Devils. That'll do for me. What an away trip that'll be. We'd definitely have to go.
I think
for
they're
that,
in that plane. That happens.
Go with the big Eskimo hats.
But I don't think Kukash is going to stop ruffling feathers anytime soon. That's my impression, anyway.
Oh, interesting. So we wait for that story to break then.
Best one regarding Kukash when he threatened to cancel the Player of the Year award. When he won that last game of the season, he whipped the trophies out right at the end.
He did. They were presenting them on the pitch to all the players, and they were all having the pictures taken, thinking, I'm hoping that I've got a contract for next season.
I think my one was when Widnes played at Salford the first. I mean, obviously, Widnes threw the second game at Salford this season, but in the cup when they were there.
You can't say that.
When we were there in the cup, Kukash was up in the stand, and I think Widnes went 18-0 up inside about 20 minutes, and he was down on the touchline, marching up and down, and obviously we all found it rather amusing in the away end that day.
It certainly amused me. It's been a great season. Look forward to it next year.
Definitely. There's more to come, I feel.
Well, we're going on a fully deserved holiday, aren't we? That is the end of the final hit of the year. James, thank you very much for your company.